Because so far, maybe the last lesson or two, but there was no conspiracy against Jesus. Everybody was, yes, this is great. He's healing people. He's teaching. But now it comes to a time when the leaders see what's happening, and Jesus has gained, particularly with the triumphant, as it is called, entry into Jerusalem, they begin to form their conspiracy to kill him. Okay. The aim is to learn the historical facts that led to the betrayal of Christ. And so, we've got some scriptures here in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and one in John, and one in Acts. That first one under the Bible readings is the conspiracy forms. Matthew 11, Luke 19, and I don't know why Matthew 12 is there. Did anybody figure that out? You see Matthew 12, verse 1 through 21? That hadn't got anything to do with anything that I saw about this lesson, so I put a question mark by it. Anyway, under the Bible readings, a conspiracy forms, the plot to kill Jesus. Judas consents to betray. The question, is it I? Thus it is written, Judas was a thief, and Judas who became a guide. Well, last week we didn't even hardly look at the questions for review, and the same today. We're going to do it this way. I'm going to read it and answer it, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong. Okay? And then we're going to get down there to questions for thought. Yes, go ahead, Kelly.
Matthew 12, 14 does say that the Pharisees were not caught of having that faith.
So, okay. Yeah, I thought I read that well, but I guess I didn't see that. But that's way back before most of our action in Matthew 26. So, thank you. Matthew 12, verse, was that 14?
Yeah.
Yeah, 14 there, conspiracy forms. So there were some people looking to do something to Jesus before these later chapters in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Number one, what did Jesus say would happen at Pentecost? I said that he said the Son of Man would be handed over to be crucified. Actually, yeah, okay. Is that right? Is there something else? Okay, what did Jesus say would happen at Passover? Did I say Pentecost? I hope not. I said Son of Man handed over to be crucified. Okay. I got at least three people to agree. That's good. All right. What did... Number two, what did Jesus fear most? What did the Jews fear most about Jesus? I said they feared his popularity with the people. We kind of touched on that while they're going some comments. They saw there in Luke 11 how the people were surrounding him, saying these things and that things and so forth. Number three, who plotted against Jesus? Chief priests, elders, officers of the temple. They plotted against Jesus. Number four, what did the chief priests want to avoid? They wanted to avoid killing Jesus during the Passover. No? Okay. Okay. They wanted to avoid rioting among the people during the festival or the feast. How about what I said during, not that they didn't want to kill Jesus during the Passover? I've forgotten what verse I read there that I put that to see what I can see it here. Okay. Matthew 26, verse 3 through 5, and Luke 22, verse 1 and 2. You got that, Brian, one of those? If not, I'll got you somebody else. Okay. Anybody have Matthew 26 or Luke 22? Okay, Luke 22, verse 1 and 2. Surely. Okay. They sought to kill Jesus, but they didn't want to do it during the Passover. Matthew 26, verse 3 and 4 and 5.
Then the chief priests and the elders of the people were gathered together in the court of the high priest named Caiaphas, and they plotted together to seize Jesus by stealth and kill him, but they were saying not during the festival, otherwise a riot might occur among the people.
Okay, so there's two things, if you will, both of them are connected, of course. They sought to kill him, but not during the festival, it would cause a riot among the people. Mark 14 also is a passage there that's already on your sheet. Mark 14, verse 2. Number 5, what announcement did the priest make in John 11, verse 57? They said, if anyone knew where Jesus was, have them tell us. Okay? You know what I thought of when I was thinking and reading that passage is, The priest had put out this bulletin. Anybody knows where Jesus was, you tell us. And I have no idea if this prompted Judas later on, they want to know where Jesus is. And I'll go to them and tell them, I'll show them where he is. I don't know if that, I don't know if Judas heard, Judas is scared I'm talking about, heard that proclamation as I call it. But I thought of that, you know, that might have given him the idea, but who knows? I don't know. Okay? You stop me if you have a comment or a question that you want to entertain. Let's see now, what were we here? Number 6, who offered to deliver Jesus to the priest? We just don't know that, do we? Judas, we just talked about. Number 7, who persuaded Judas to do this? Satan, how does it put it? Satan entered into his heart. Okay. Along that, would you say, and I realize we're wondering, would you say that Judas was of a mindset that this would be a temptation for him? I mean, usually, you're not tempted unless you have... I'm not tempted to eat kale. So I don't care what you say, I'm not going to be tempted to eat. Ted? If I understand Ted's question, was he motivated? And did you say holy? Holy motivated? That's my understanding. We have a passage that says that he carried the purse, the satchel, the money for the disciples and Jesus, and he took it. Yeah, he stole from it. He was greedy, and so we know that about him. He said, wasn't he the one that said one time, well, you know, if you take that ointment, very expensive, sell it to the, you know, we could have taken care of the poor.
Showed an attitude right,
right, that's exactly it. My attitude toward kale is not, you're not going to tempt me to eat it. So. I couldn't think of a better illustration. I like Brussels sprouts, so I couldn't use that. I knew I'd get that. Okay. Number eight, what did Jesus reveal while eating the Passover with his disciples? One would betray him, right? Okay, what did Jesus say was a sign of his betrayer? The one, there, what it signified that he would be the one who would betray. Jesus said, the one who dips with me in the bowl is the one that will betray me, right? You ever dipped in a bowl with people? What's the visual that you have in your mind when Jesus talks about dipping in the bowl? Lysander? Not what Jesus has in mind here. They might have had a bowl of water there, but that's not the picture here. Where are they when Jesus says this? What's the event? What's the at the Passover? They're eating the Passover. You've seen, I know you have, pizza bread. As those guys toss it up in the air and everything, you toss that thing up in the air and then put it on a hot surface. And I'm trying to think a picture in your mind. Take the top out of a 55-gallon barrel. Make a dome out of it, put a fire under it. And then you take that pizza dough and put it on that and heat it till it's cooked. Okay? And so when you go to the Passover feast, I don't mean that they took a 55-gallon barrel lid, but they took something like that. One of these days, when I have a certain lesson in mind, I'll show you a picture of it. But anyway, so this piece of bread is that big. And they would tear off a piece, and here is the bowl of food, whatever it might have been, the lamb, and so forth. And you've heard the word sop? I don't know if any of your version uses that word here, but they take off a piece and dip it, sop it in the bowl and eat it. They didn't use knives, forks, and spoons. So Jesus said, whoever sops in the bowl with me is going to betray me. So he took a piece of bread. Okay, Ed. Okay. That's, yeah, it's kind of the same line, only you usually got a piece of a bread about like this, a loaf of, and you tear off of it. It's not a flat pizza-like piece of dough, piece of bread. The same idea, you're sopping it. All right, everybody got the picture? Okay. Oh, yeah. Make gravy, and they kind of had a gravy, probably. Yeah, when we make gravy, which is not very often anymore, and we have bread, which is not very often anymore, I always sopped up my gravy when I got through, you know, always had some left over. All right, maybe, who was it over here, maybe?
Well, it just reminds me of our Lebanese friends in Calgary.
Yep.
They dip it
in that yolk. They dipped it in the yogurt. They had other things too, but yeah. That was our live experience, if you will. These people, they lived a little way from us. The neighborhood were Lebanese, and they still did much the same that they did when they were in Lebanon. And Lebanese are much the same as these Jews, people in Israel today, so on. So far as sopping in the... Okay, last center.
Okay.
It depends, I think, on which account you're looking at. Let's see here. This one has Mark 14, 20. Yeah, somebody go there, and I was trying to see if there's another parallel to that. Mark 14, 20. Let's read that one first.
It's one of the 12, he replied, one who dipped the bread into the bowl with
him. Okay, let's back up a verse or two there to get how he got said that. Start with 17. Go ahead, Kelly. I think you're still there.
When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, surely not I. It is one of the 12, he replied, one who dips bread into the bowl with me.
Okay, so one who dips bread in the bowl with me. What you're looking at, Lysander, does it say that he dipped it and gave it to him? Okay, I was wondering if it might be another parallel passage to this one here in Mark. Of course, if you're reading the King James, that's just you can't go for that one. I'm kidding. Go ahead, you had something else. Well, there could be two ways. Jesus could dip it in it and hand it to Judas, or Jesus and Judas dipping in it together at the same time. I've had that vision in my mind as well. Go ahead, Shirley.
Why would anyone dip in it if they were told ahead of time, whoever dips in the bread is going to be the one in the
when you get to heaven, ask Jesus.
I will.
I have no idea, other than the fact Jesus is prophesying here, and I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. He might not have been listening. He might whatever. Yeah. What would Jesus says it, and then they do it. So why would? That's what. Yeah, he's thinking about 30 pieces of silver.
He was listening.
Yeah.
Because in 26:25, he said, Judas, who was betraying him, said, surely it is not I, Rabbi. And Jesus said to him, you have said it yourself.
Yep. Okay. Glass okay. Under. So what? Go ahead. Yeah, yeah. And that's why I always had in my mind that Jesus and Judas were doing at the same time. Jesus had his piece of bread and Judas had his. And I'm not saying this is the only way it could be, but they did it at the same time. But go ahead, Laverne.
Already. And Judas, who was betraying him, said, surely it is not I, Rabbi. Okay, got it.
He's already spoken to the high priest and everything. He's right in the middle of it now.
And that's why he said betraying him. That's present tense and continued action. All right, a lot of interesting things, and some we just don't know anything about. I was wondering if we had already... What did Jesus say about his betrayer? Oh, yes. Better not for him to have been born, right? I think we got another question about that. We'll see later. What does Matthew... apply Zechariah 11, 3 through 14. Yeah, I'm looking at number 11. I didn't read it very well. To what does Matthew apply Zechariah verse chapter 11? Matthew quotes Zechariah, and he applies it to what or whom or where? Yes. Matthew says, Matthew quotes Zechariah, and it talks about betrayal and 30 pieces of silver, and Matthew applies that to Judas. Okay. Zechariah also, a similar passage, but not exactly the same, is in Jeremiah 19, and also Jeremiah 3. We can come back to that later if we like. Well, how much was Judas paid by the chief priests and the elders? 30 pieces of silver. What was that the price of? It was the price of a slave, right? If you wanted to buy a slave, that's all it cost. Okay. Number 13, what did the apostle Peter call Judas? This is Apostle Peter in Acts the 11th chapter, we're quoting him. And Peter is saying we need to select someone to take the place of Judas, and he's talking about Judas. And so the Apostle Peter called Judas a guide to those who took Jesus. Is that right? Okay, good. what did Peter call the 30 shekels of silver? American Standard Version says a reward of iniquity. A reward of wickedness? Just said wickedness. Okay. That's also in Acts, the first chapter. How did Jesus respond to Judas's question? Rabbi, is it I? Brian read this a minute ago. What did Brian read there? Judas said, Lord, is it I? Judas said, Lord, is it I? And Jesus said to him, as you have said. Lysander? Okay. Yeah. You have said, the American Standard Version says, or the New International Version says, yes, it is you. And then another one said, you yourself have said it. So that's what Jesus said. Ted? Question I find. Yeah. Yeah. If I understand, let me see if I've got your question right, Ted. The reason that Judas hung himself, because he didn't think they'd go as far as to kill Jesus, maybe put him in prison. I don't know the answer to that, except after he did it, he had remorse. Yeah. Larry?
Is that where we get the term blood money?
Yes, that's one place. Yeah. We've got something else down in the question for thoughts along this line, so let's go ahead there. For what possible reason would the chief priests be concerned about an uproar among the people? We've talked about this, that they didn't want to kill Jesus, it caused a riot. What possible reason would they have had? Now, these are your. I'm not going to answer these for you. Kelly?
Well, I think they were always afraid of some sort of an uprising that would catch the attention of the Romans and have them come in and put their hand down.
The Jews. The priest and the uppity-up guys were afraid always that the Romans would come in. If they did something that would upset the Romans, they were afraid that the Romans would come in and take what power they had, for the Romans did give them quite a bit of leeway. If there was a riot, then the Romans are going to be upset about it. And so that was one and probably all of what we're going to say here is the same idea, but they were afraid of having the Romans come down on them. Okay, in John 12, that's kind of the idea that I got from John 12, 19. The whole crowd had gone after him, that is Jesus. They followed him, that's what it meant. The NIV says gone after him. And they saw, and as we mentioned a while ago, the popularity among the people toward Jesus. And you get a popular guy and you take him and kill him, and what's that going to do with the people that have their mind in a popular idea toward a guy. So they were afraid of the crowd and what they might do, and what they might do in reference to what the what would come down on them from the Rome. Anything else on that one, Ted? Yes, and remember too at this time, who was the high priest? Ryan read his name a while ago. Caiaphas, and Annas was his father-in-law. He's related anyway. I may be wrong about his father. Those two guys were Sadducees, and the Sadducees were more. What's the word I'm looking for? Had a better, the Pharisees didn't like Rome, period. I mean, they kowtowed to Rome. The Sadducees, they were great friends of Rome in one sense, because Rome appointed the high priest, and they appointed him from the Levitical priesthood, but the Sadducees were in power right now as far as the high priest is concerned, both Caiaphas and Caiaphas and his father-in-law, Annas. So I don't know how I got onto that, except from what Ted was saying there. There were some Jews that were willing to have Rome rule them as long as it benefited them. And that's the high priest that we're talking about. As long as it benefited him, then he'd kowtow to the Romans. The Pharisees, not so much, but they also didn't want Rome coming down on them, because they held to the fact that the Romans did let them do their law thing, so to speak. They allowed them to even kill people according to the law, Mosaical law I'm talking about. And they were afraid that Rome might take that away from them too. Yes? That's right. Yeah.
So no matter how remorseful he was, if he had ever repented, he would have turned around. But he didn't take his own life. So when you do that, you're gone eternally. There's no one. You cannot repent of anything.
Paul? Yeah, he did not have a godly sorrow. He had remorse, as we pointed out. Yes, yes. When Peter betrayed Jesus, his was a godly sorrow, and he repented. And he had remorse, but it was a godly sorrow, too, the fact that he repented. Okay, anything else? Oh, yes. I don't know. As I say, I can't read Judas's mind, and I don't know if that was in his mind. I can see how it could be, but I don't know that it was. I can't think, and I could be wrong. So you guys let me know. But I can't think of anything in the scripture that would indicate that Judas didn't think he could straighten it up, or however you said that. Yeah, well, it was. That's right. There's a lot of things about Judas's mind that I don't think we can know, other than what, of course, the scriptures say. But the working of his mind, I mean, he has already gone to accepted the 30 pieces of silver. There's a period of time, several hours, before Jesus is taken and tried and crucified. And there's a period of time then also, of course, when Judas had not committed suicide yet, so there's enough hours that Judas could have repented, but he was just remorseful, and I don't know how much further it goes than that.
Yeah. I think we can say that he lacked
faith. Is what?
He lacked faith.
Oh yeah, he lacked faith. That's for sure. But Kyle. God uses evil people, right? Just remember that in this election. Hey, if you don't think God has anything to do with this country or other countries, remember He had, and you can name evil people in the Bible. Some of them repented, and some didn't, but He was able to use them for His purposes. That's the foreknowledge of God. He didn't make them that way, but He knew what they was in their mind, and He used them in that mindset to do it. Pharaoh is one of the examples come to my mind, first of all.
Well, Satan,
yeah. Satan tempted him, but, and this is getting off to a little different subject, but Satan cannot cause a person to do something that person is not willing to do. Yeah. Yeah, I know. No, I would, yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay, the good thoughts. Let's go on with the notes in number 3, discuss an explanation for why Matthew might refer to Zechariah as Jeremiah. I want to come back to that if we have time. Number 4, discuss whether or not Judas was predestined to betray Christ. Was he?
My Bible says that Satan
entered. Yeah, he entered his.
So that means that he was predisposed to reaction.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Ted?
Well, it begs the question, doesn't it? Why Judas? Both of these young, both why?
It had to be somebody.
But
He's one of Jesus' chosen. The answer to this question is yes and no. Right? He was not predestined in the sense that he would have to do it and he didn't have any choice otherwise. That's what a lot of people think today so far as predestination is concerned. He chooses you to be saved and you to be lost, and there's not a thing in the world you can do about it. We have a free will, so that doctrine is not so. But did God foreknow? Did Jesus foreknow? There is a sense that that's predestination. And Paul uses this expression in Ephesians, the first chapter. He foreordained us unto eternal life. That's where people get this Calvinistic doctrine. They twist the scripture there. But so, yes, Jesus knew. God knew what Judas was going to be like, but he didn't make him do it without Judas's own will. So that's when I said it's a yes and no answer. Go ahead, Gil.
The predestination, and I don't want to get off on that too
much. Oh, let's go away. Go ahead.
After we're predestined, there's an if you do this and this and this.
Yes, and yes, and there is the fact that here is where God, he says, this people right here are foreordained to eternal life. Who are those people? Those who are in him, in Christ, Ephesians the first chapter. That's what's predestined, not the individual. It's the realm that you get into. Okay, Ted? They, as far as I know, they don't have an answer for that, but I don't recall right now having ever asked someone. Why would it have been good that Judas had not been born? That's what Jesus said, isn't it? From Judas' standpoint, he wouldn't have ended up where he is. Yeah. But it wasn't somebody who could do something who could not help himself otherwise. It was through his own weakness, lack of faith, that he's tempted, and that's the way we all are. I'd like to continue on and on and on, but I skipped number three, discuss an explanation for why Matthew might refer to Zacharias as Jeremiah. I'll tell you what we're talking about here, and we'll discuss more next week if you want. Matthew says, Jeremiah says, right? That's what the scripture there in Matthew. Jeremiah says this. But if you look in your Bible, a lot of them anyway, the footnote will have Zechariah, the 11th chapter, is that where, 19th chapter? No, that's Jeremiah. Yeah, Zechariah, the 11th chapter in the footnote. I don't know the answer specifically, exactly, without a doubt, but may it be that Matthew said Jeremiah because Zechariah was quoting Jeremiah and Matthew quotes Jeremiah also. Any other explanations that are better than that? I'm glad to hear. Lesson number 21 is next. Is anything you want to say while we pass these around? They're at the supper most of what we talked about today in lesson 20. Lesson 21 is Jesus eats the Last Supper. That's what this one is about. And you get up there, maybe I think you can get one. Okay, anything else on 20? Yes.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that Judas spent all this time with Jesus, seeing him do miracles and all that stuff, how often he grows.
It's because you don't think like Judas did.
I guess not.
Go ahead, Brian.
And that's the beauty of the Spirit revealing to us the character of him. For example, when he was observing that perfume being wasted.
Yeah.
If we didn't have passages like that, we might wonder about that even more. But he was not faithful, and he was
And that blinded Judas to any what the reality really was. And so people can get that way, and probably a lot of people in the world like that today. Laverne? Yes.
God didn't pick Pharaoh.
Kind of himself. In a sense, yes. It does say in the passage in Romans that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. But how did he do it? He gave Pharaoh the truth, and Pharaoh didn't want to hear it. He's the one that did it. Okay, thank you much.